gonna have a good year, gonna turn. Lean back and stay a while, now a good year's gonna turn.
Brad Crandall for Monitor 67 with a bird's eye view of the weekend scene. In 2 minutes, Joe Garagiola will be along with a reminiscence about one of the biggest little men in the history of golf, Ben Hogan. Later, we'll be hearing from NBC News correspondent Howard Tuckner aboard an American destroyer off the coast of North Vietnam. First, Monitor music. Sports with Joe Garagiola, brought to you by Vigoro, the goof-proof lawn foods.
The great ones are a separate breed, and one of the rarest is the man I'll be back to talk about right after this from Vigoro.
When the green on your grass is gone, and you gotta make it shake up, make it wake up with the bold green vigor of Vigoro, the bold green vigor of Vigoro.
You bet, and the reason is simple. The manufacturers of Vigoro know what they're doing. They've been at it longer and hold more patents for plant feeding breakthroughs than any other outfit in the country, bar none. And when they make a Vigoro product for any lawn or garden use, it's tailor-made for the area it's sold in. That's the secret of the bold green vigor of Vigoro.
It's a lot greener than green.
Vigoro, the goof-proof, tailor-made lawn foods. You sure ought to try them.
To me, the most interesting thing about the world of sports is the people who live in that world. Like any other field, it has its good guys and bad guys. People with lots of talent and people with very little. And that very special few who achieve greatness. Somebody, and maybe it was Bo Bolinski, once said, "Beauty is in the eye of the beholder." So is greatness. And from where I'm sitting, there aren't many guys in sports with a better claim to greatness than a 54-year-old Texan named William Benjamin Hogan. Ben Hogan has always been an unusual man. In the days when he was the man on the golf circuit, he made everyone shake their heads with his approach to the game. Hogan could go out and shoot a 66, and every other golfer in the tournament would sit in the locker room saying, "Why can't I do that?" And while they were sitting there, Hogan would be out on the practice tee working on one part of his game which hadn't pleased him that day. The story of the automobile crash that Hogan was in is one of the great legends of sport. In 1949, Ben and his wife were in an accident, and the sports world held its breath, wondering whether Hogan would live. 16 months later, he was back on the course, playing in the U.S. Open. In those days, the Open meant 36 holes on the last day, and Ben Hogan limped around the Marion Golf Club that day, playing well enough to finish in a three-way tie for first place with George Fazio and Lloyd Mangrum. The next day, Hogan shot a 69 to win the Open. But Ben Hogan's greatness is made up of other things, too. He gave proof of that earlier this month in the Masters. I was certainly impressed with the 66 that he shot in the third round, but I was even more impressed with the fact that he was there at all. Today, Ben Hogan is a man with a problem on a golf course. Now, all of us have our problems on a golf course, but none of us have the memories that Ben Hogan has. He can remember when other players had problems just because he showed up. But today, Hogan has to put up with something that's tough for anyone, but even tougher for champions. Embarrassment. The years have made it tough for Ben to bring his putter back. He seems to stand frozen over the ball. He says, "I'm still embarrassed to get before people and putt. I'm even embarrassed to putt when I'm alone. But the only way to beat the thing is to play." I hear children and ladies saying, "Why doesn't he hit it faster?" And I say to myself, "You idiot. You heard them. Why don't you hit it faster?" The real question to me is not why Hogan doesn't hit the ball faster, but why he would subject himself to embarrassment at all. He's earned the right to avoid that. When asked why he competes in the Masters, Ben says, "Let me put it this way. If they didn't offer any money, and the course wasn't in the shape it's in now, and Bobby Jones sent me an invitation, I'd still come." Class is a very abused word. So is greatness. Ben Hogan has both. This is Joe Garagiola for Monitor Sports.
Joe's one of our regulars over the weekend. Weekdays, catch his sports show on NBC Radio. At 15 minutes past the hour, you're on the Monitor Beacon.
Double your pleasure with a double burger at Wetson's. Two delicious burgers on a toasted bun. U.S. government inspected all beef. Mmm, love that burger. In the Bronx, New York, there is a Wetson's on Boston Road between Eastchester and Baychester Avenues. For the Wetson's nearest you, check the phone book.
Individually styled for spring, WNBC's programming is so well proportioned it fits everyone. Conversation, morning music, news, and more conversation. Why don't you try it on for size? WNBC, the big voice of Big Town USA.
WNBC New York, the big voice of Big Town USA, is the sound of people.
This is Brad Crandall. This is Monitor, and this is Petula Clark. This message from the Arthritis Foundation. It's been said by some who suffer most from arthritis that this cruel affliction never kills. It just makes people wish they were dead. But the truth is that now much can be done to help the arthritis sufferer live far more comfortably and actively. While scientific research for the cause and cure continues, the Arthritis Foundation also sponsors nationwide services for patient care today. You can do your part in helping crush the crippler by supporting the work of the Arthritis Foundation in your community. As the tempo of the war in Vietnam increases, the U.S. Navy has widened its operations. Howard Tuckner, NBC News correspondent, was on a recent Navy mission. This is his report from aboard a destroyer.
This barrage is from the guns of the USS Alt. Its shells are landing on North Vietnam. Since February 26th, when Washington increased the Navy's pressure on North Vietnam, U.S. destroyers have been hitting military targets in the North every day, sometimes three or four times a day. Throughout the ship, not only on deck, the targets were the thing.
All men reported. 12 guns, 12 salvos, 6 guns. Commence fire. Squad combat, right 50 and 50.
Right 50 and 50.
Squad combat, left 100, no change.
We've been told that we're in range of at least 15 North Vietnamese shore batteries. Surprising to many of the officers and men on this ship that the coastal batteries have not opened up as yet. During Operation Sea Dragon, 6 ships of the U.S. Navy have been hit by coastal batteries in North Vietnam. And if this ship were hit, they'd be in a lot of trouble because the destroyer has very little armored plating. And talk to the men and officers, crew members of this ship, they'll tell you this ship has no armored plating. In fact, there's a man here in a life raft, a crew member, who was just holding his ears because we're expecting the bombardment to continue any minute. What about the armored plating on these ships?
1/4 inch.
What does that mean to you?
That means the ship is built of 1/4 inch steel.
I'm told that means that any volley that comes from the coast against this ship, it means that the projectile is going to go through.
It will go through.
But you step inside because we're having a radar problem with sound outside. What do you think of these bombardments?
Well, it's necessary.
I hear some of the boys on the ship think we've been a little too inactive, that we don't go in close enough or that we haven't had enough missions.
Well, for my part, I think we've been active enough. After my participation in the Korean conflict, I was on a ship that got hit at Incheon, and I'm very happy to be out here.
Well, they're opening up again.
They sure are. The other
ship. That is fire going out from one of the sister destroyers here, the USS Shelton. Apparently, they have spotted a North Vietnamese coastal battery. They're being used on this mission to suppress possible fire from the coast. The mission has been going on about, 15 minutes now. And all along, all this time, you could see North Vietnam. There's a plane over there, a U.S. plane, that's sweeping the beach, telling the Alt and the other destroyers how close their rounds are coming to the appointed targets. Well, just a little while ago, when the Alt was zeroing in so the plane could tell it how close its first rounds were coming, lo and behold, they hit something important. That's pretty good marksmanship. It was a military barracks area. Nobody knows just what was supposed to be in there, but whatever was in there exploded, and it was left smoking. This is the work that this ship is supposed to do, and others like it. This is Howard Tuckner, NBC News, aboard the USS Alt off North Vietnam.
A sound portrait of Operation Sea Dragon, a U.S. Navy mission off the coast of North Vietnam. Each weekend on Monitor, NBC News reporters keep you informed on events in the major news centers of the world. A fellow named Tony Bennett swinging along on the sunny side of the street.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear the pitter-pat? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be complete on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade. But I'm not afraid, because this rover crossed over. And if I never had a cent, I'd be rich as Rockefeller, with gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in a shade with those blues on parade, but I'm not afraid, because this river crossed over. And if I never had a cent, I'd be rich as Harry Belafonte, with Barry Goldwater at my feet on the sunny.
One of the all-time standards from the songwriting team of Jimmy McHugh and Dorothy Fields.
Plymouth is out to win you over this year.
Hi, this is Edie Gourmet with a report on Plymouth's Win You Over campaign. They're winning people over like mad, really. Plymouth dealers are having a terrific sales year, and for two simple reasons. They've got great products, and they're professional.
You summed it up perfectly, Edie. Plymouth dealers are professionals. Whether it's parts or service, a new or used car, you can count on your Plymouth dealer to be an expert. Take your automotive needs to a professional, your Plymouth dealer.
Follow your heart to your Plymouth dealer today.
Get a specially equipped Plymouth at a specially reduced price now during the big bonus sale at your Plymouth dealers. He's one of the Plymouth professionals.
Thank you.
That's the sound of the Baja Marimba Band with Cabeza Arriba. Translated means roughly head up or something close to that. Head above, I guess, really. You're swinging along through the weekend world with Monitor. The best sound anywhere around, no matter where you may be in the USA. In western Michigan, we reach our friends over station WOOD in Grand Rapids. Right now, let's take a roll call of all our NBC stations, and then we'll be back.
At home or on the road, stay with Monitor on the NBC Radio Network.
For the past 90 years, the Legal Aid Society has stood for equal justice in New York City. Your neighbors in need, more than 170,000 of them last year, look to the Legal Aid Society for help. Send a check to the Legal Aid Society, 11 Park Place, 10007. 60 degrees and clear in Big Town. The humidity is 33%. The barometer is rising. On this, the big voice of Big Town, USA, WNBC, New York at 8:30.
Now, Monitor looks over some of the news you may have overlooked. In Washington earlier this week, a new clerk in the House of Representatives was cleaning up his office, and he found a tombstone in a utility closet. I guess this surprised everybody around Congress. I don't really know why it should. I mean, in a place like Washington, where else would you put a tombstone? A sailor, they say, has a girl in every port. One of them seems to be Gogie Grant. Here she sings, "The Sea."
My man is a handsome sailing man. The captain of his crew. He goes with the sea to distant lands, and he stays a year or two. I have his name, I wear his ring, but I found from the start, though I keep my vows and keep his house, the she-sea keeps his heart. Oh, the sea, the she-devil sea. I hear the jealousy raging and wild. She raves and storms because he's here with me. And as he wakes, I kiss his lips, and his desire I stir. But with the dawn, he'll soon be gone, and he'll go back to her, to the sea.
Les Brown, the band of renown, and it's not unusual.
Thank you.
again from Monitor and me. I'm Brad Crandall. When improvements are made on the Apollo spacecraft in order to make it fireproof, a substance will be used which is very familiar to most housewives. Perhaps you use it every day in your kitchen. Peter Hackus reports details in his feature, The World of Space, in about 4 minutes. First, Casino Royale by the Tijuana Brass.
Have been winning people over like mad. So you'd think they take a breather about now. They're throwing a big bonus sale.
It's really the big sale of the year, Edie. Plymouth dealers are offering specially equipped Fury, Belvedere, and Valiant models with special equipment at specially reduced prices. Winning deals on the wild new Barracudas, too. See them now during Plymouth's big bonus sale.
Follow your heart, see your Plymouth dealer today.
Save on a bonus special Plymouth today at your Plymouth dealers. It's his big bonus sale featuring specially equipped Plymouths at specially reduced prices. Going strong now. And now the latest from the world of space. Peter Hackus, NBC News, Washington, reports on steps being taken to fireproof the Apollo spacecraft.
One of the major recommendations of the board that investigated the Apollo tragedy was that NASA remove or find a substitute for everything in the capsule that will burn. One of the things that spread the fire so quickly was that a great many items aboard ignited. There were nylon retaining nets, for example, strung up here and there around the cabin, into which tools and debris were placed. They were to be used in space to keep things from flying around the cabin when there's no gravity to hold them down. There were nylon couch pads, about 1 inch thick, similar to foam rubber pads, on which each astronaut was lying. There were nylon restraint straps, seat belts, if you will, over the shoulder, across the stomach and legs for protection during launch and reentry. There were the $25,000 apiece, mostly nylon space suits. There were life vests, floor pads. Nylon fastener material called Velcro was glued everywhere, the miracle tape to which things can be fastened and pulled off in a hurry like Scotch tape. Now, nylon burns at a temperature between 400 and 700 degrees, and so did a lot of other things made of plastic that happened to be aboard the Apollo 1. They served as a sort of fuse that spread the oxygen-fed fire very rapidly around inside the cabin. So NASA now, together with private industry, is researching substitutes. One of the best thus far seems to be what's called beta fiber, a fiberglass fabric product that won't burn at all. It will melt, but only at a temperature of more than 1,500 degrees. Another good one appears to be Teflon, which we're told is self-extinguishing. Teflon would be used to coat certain items to make them flame-proof. Finding these materials, however, is only the beginning. They now must be tested and retested, not only for fire resistance, but all the tests everything goes through before it flies in space. Heat, cold, zero gravity, vacuum chamber, and so on. And they'll have to be sent into space aboard one of the three unmanned Saturn V Apollo tests to be run later this year. In all, it could take at least 6 months. And it's costly when you change things in the middle of a complicated system such as this. One estimate is that it may cost $60 million to get the Apollo capsule back to where we thought it was before the fire. A new quick-opening hatch will probably be the most expensive single item. But dollars and time somehow fade into insignificance when measured against human lives. Peter Hackus, NBC News, Washington.
Now, Connie Francis and more Monitor music. Time alone will tell. Time is 15 minutes until the hour of the program Monitor, where just ahead we'll be hearing from Ted Webb with Sport of Speed. So leave that dial right where it is. You're on the Monitor Beacon.
Chateau Martin wine is on the list of best sellers. Best wine sellers everywhere.
Time, it's about the Chateau Martin wine. The flavor and aroma are so fine. Try the sherry or the port, buy the gallon or the quart. You'll be nuts about the Chateau Martin wine.
Every well-stocked cellar includes Chateau Martin port wine, the rich, clear dessert wine that provides the happy ending to a perfect dinner. Chateau Martin port wine, made from choice California grapes, mellowed in 100-year-old oak casks, is distinctive in flavor and aroma. Try it, then you'll understand why
Chateau Martin wine is on the list of best sellers. best wine cellars everywhere.
I am rich about your Chateau Martin wine.
A product of Chateau Martin Wines, New York, makers of famous Chateau Martin sherry wine. Had any lately?
The Come Alive sound on the Big Voice of Big Town USA, WNBC, New York.
Brad Crandall back with more of Monitor 67. Leading off this quarter hour, here are Steve Lawrence and Edie Gourmet with a new one for them. I Believe in You.
You have the cool, clear eyes of a seeker of wisdom and truth. Yet there's that upturned chin and the grin of impetuous youth.
The sound of good solid judgment whenever you talk.
That is culture, dear, that reeks whenever I speak.
Yet there's that bold, brave spring of the tigress that quickens your walk.
Then you've noticed, dear, the spring of the tigress whenever
I
walk.
Oh, I believe in you. Faith in my fellow man, all but falls apart. I've but to feel your hand grasping mine, and I take heart. You have the cool, clear eyes of a seeker of wisdom and truth. Like martinis, dear, but just a drop of vermouth.
I believe in you.
That's very nice, dear. I believe in you. I believe. Oh, yeah. I believe in you.
At the Monitor Sports Desk, here's Mel Allen.
Monitor presents Sport of Speed. It's time for your weekend checkpoint for Ted Webb's news, views, and results from the world of auto racing. Brought to you by the many service stations from coast to coast that carry a brand of Pennsylvania motor oil. Ted will be along in just a moment. First of all, let me tell you this. Every once in a while, someone asks us, what's so great about Pennsylvania motor oils? Well, let's put it this way. Some oils take several days to produce. Pennsylvania oils took 1 million years. Nature has never produced a crude oil like it. Pennsylvania oil has a unique molecular structure that stands up to the head of high speeds. Can you imagine what happens to lesser oils when they're thrashed around several thousand times a minute at turnpike speeds? Pennsylvania motor oils never get so stirred up that they forget what they're supposed to do. So for the good of your engine, insist on a brand of Pennsylvania motor oil. And say, all of you sports car enthusiasts, when is your club holding its next rally? You can get a complete rally kit with checkpoint signs, windshield numbers, and sanctioned scoring slips from the Pennsylvania Grade Crude Oil Association. For just $1, you get 6 big checkpoint signs, windshield stickers numbered 1 through 100, and a pad of 120 rally scoring slips. Just send your dollar to Checkpoint, Box 96, Oil City, Pennsylvania. Now, here's Ted.
Thank you, Mel. Action at Indianapolis Motor Speedway started yesterday, and the year's first mishap occurred when two cars collided before they got on the track. This was as the drivers tried to be first out for practice. George Snyder of Fresno, California, and Cale Yarbrough of Timmonsville, South Carolina, bumped at the pit gate, and Cale broke the nose cone on his Bryant Special. Today, however, Yarbrough really bent his car up when he spun in the south turn, slid 600 feet, hit the wall, slid another 80 feet, and then 200 more to the inside of the track. Yarbrough was unhurt, and the car will be rebuilt. Chris Amon, Norm Brown, and Greg Weld passed final driver's tests. Richie Ginther and Pedro Rodriguez both passed their first three phases, and now have only their final test to face. 40 cars now are at the speedway. 21 have passed technical inspection. Richard Petty, the pride of Randleman, North Carolina, passed a milestone in his racing career today when he tied his number of grand national victories with his illustrious father, Lee. His 54th was turned in at Richmond, Virginia this afternoon in the 250-lapper at the fairgrounds. Bobby Allison in Dodge followed the Petty Plymouth across the line for second spot. Dick Hutchison took third in the Ford. Fourth was James Hilton in Dodge, and Clyde Lynn took fifth. There were 10 lead changes among Hutchison, Allison, and Petty, and 5 cautions, but no injuries. Paul Goldsmith dropped out after 190 laps with suspension problems, and Jim Pascal went out after 200 with engine failure. Last night at Savannah, however, it was Allison, the winner, and Petty, the runner-up. At Winchester, Indiana, the USAC sprint race feature today was won by Jerry Scratch Daniels of St. Paul. Bruce Walkup of Downey, California, took second. Sam Sessions of Nashville, Michigan, was third. Mickey Shaw from Elyria, Ohio, finished fourth. And Al Smith of Dayton, Ohio, was fifth. Bob Wente qualified fast time and led for 28 laps when the rear end went out. At Nazareth, Pennsylvania, today, the United Racing Club sprinters were in action, and their 20-lap feature was won by Earl Hallequist of Sydney, New York, followed by Tom Price of Wilmington, Delaware. Al LaQuasto of Easton, Pennsylvania, was third. Jerry Carl of Rockville Center, New York, fourth, and Lou Johnson of Wilmington, Delaware, took fifth. The United States Road Racing Championship event at Riverside, California, today went to Mark Donahue of Stony Brook, New York, his second successive victory in as many races. Donahue was in a Lola Chev. Second went to Bob Bondurant of Los Angeles. Third was Peter Revson of New York. And fourth was Lothar Machenbacher of Beverly Hills, California. These three in McLaren Chev. Fifth went to Mike Garth of Corona Del Mar, California. He was driving a Lola Chev. George Folmer started on the pole, led for 3 laps, maintained close contact with Donahue after Mark took over, but then retired with engine trouble. Scooter Patrick from Manhattan Beach, California, finished 10th overall and first under 2 liters in Porsche. This is Ted Webb.
Sport of Speed with Ted Webb is brought to you twice each weekend by the many famous brands of Pennsylvania Motor Oil. For the lasting good of your engine, insist on a Pennsylvania Motor Oil. This is Mel Allen for Monitor Sports.
Sport of Speed, a regular feature of Weekend Monitor. Now, let's hear from Monitor's Saturday afternoon host, Ed McMahon, exhibiting a new facet of his personality as he sings, that's right, sings, a song called Beautiful Girl.
Into a little girl's room one night, her father tiptoed to put out the light. He bent down to kiss her and then tuck her in tight. And he sang to her softly a song of good night. Beautiful girl, lying there, ribbons of velvet in your hair, sleep like an angel, little girl blue, wherever you are, I will watch over you. Into that room, one dark night, he came in a uniform, shining and bright. He had to leave now, and couldn't say why. But softly he sang a song of goodbye. Beautiful girl, lying there, ribbons of velvet in your hair. Someday the war will have to be through. And when it is done, then I'll come home. In a jungle outpost, far away, a soldier was writing a letter one day, telling his girls he was missing them so, and signing with kisses a daddy's hello. A little girl tossed in her bed that night. She wanted her daddy to tuck her in tight. A wind touched the curtains and sighed as it blew. And a voice seemed to whisper to someone it knew. Beautiful girl, lying there, ribbons of velvet in your hair. Sleep like an angel, little girl blue. Wherever you are, I will watch over you.
Watch over you.
Now a listening reminder. Later this evening, NBC Radio will present a radio special entitled Law Day USA, a conversation with Attorney General Ramsey Clark and Orison S. Martin, president of the American Bar Association. The discussion will concentrate on the rise in crime in the United States and what might be done to remedy the situation. Law Day, incidentally, will be observed throughout the nation tomorrow, May 1st. Be sure to listen to Law Day USA later tonight on most of these NBC stations. Jankowski, what now, my love? Well, now this is Monitor 67, your weekend companion for music, news, sports, and comedy. I'm Brad Crandall reminding you that NBC News on the Hour is coming up, and then we'll be back.
This is your NBC Monitor. This is your